There are no alternative plans. There are no secondary programs. God said you must be filled with the Spirit. I said that. I will tell you that most things will go on in most churches today will never be allowed to go on if there was the resistance of the Holy Spirit. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God said, I will raise up a spirit, will raise up a standard. I'm shocked that there are no standards in the church much anymore. There's been a lot of man-made standards. There's been a lot of ideas of man. But you can see what happens to them. They perish with the music. But there is a standard of the Holy Spirit of God that we desperately need. I want you to turn with me tonight to the book of Romans, chapter 8. I want to begin reading with verse 25. Romans 8, 25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we have patience. What? Wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for, as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Let me deal with some things further than where we've been. About the workings and the goings and the doing of the Holy Spirit in our lives. There are so many things that God does that we're not even mindful of. He said, forget not all of his benefits. I looked at that one time, and that means everything that God does for you that you don't know that he does. Forget not everything. All of good and perfect gifts comes from above. Jesus said, it is mandatory for you that I return back to heaven, for if I go not away, the Spirit will not come. You need it. You must be filled. He said, walk in the Spirit. How can you walk in the Spirit if you're not filled with the Spirit? Paul said, I will pray with the understanding, but I pray in the Spirit also. How can you pray in the Spirit if you're not filled with the Spirit? I want to bring some of those things up again to tell you this. That one of the things that God the Holy Ghost does to us and for us, he is the one that directs our steps so that every necessary task and every necessary thing of life in our lives, we do it. We do things. Not necessarily that we always think it out, but we do it because we're prompted. We do it because we're led. We do it because we are moved. But sometimes we're not even mindful of how all of that works. God works in your life when you're asleep. God works in your life when you're on the job. God works in our lives. How does he do that? He does that by the Spirit of God. There's a lot of things that we practically have to do. There are many things that we spiritually have to do. How do I do those things? That was given me by the Spirit of God. The flesh doesn't want to pray. The flesh doesn't want to call on God. The flesh, the devil, is never going to prompt you to pray. He's never going to call you to pray. He's not going to call on you to the Word of God. He's not going to call you to that walk in the Spirit. The flesh never does that. Where does that desire come from? I'm going to go back to last Sunday morning. My God, I don't know if it happened to you that way or not, but it did me. Where did that come from? From the first note on the piano. From the first song we began to sing. We sit here, empowered by the presence of God. We didn't make that up. That wasn't on a program. You cannot stir that. That was the presence of God Almighty. That was the presence of God the Holy Spirit. And that's the way he works. I don't always know what I'm supposed to do. I don't always know what I'm supposed to say. I do not always understand everything. But God tells me what to do. God tells you what to do. That's what we talk about when we talk about being led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. If you're led by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust and the desires of the flesh. Be moved. Be stirred. I've got so many testimonies I can mention. I've had people have told me through life and through the years that God worked in their life. They didn't know what was happening. I remember Randy up in Illinois come to me. She said, Brother Turner, I want to tell you a true testimony. She said, I have breast cancer. I have severe breast cancer. She said, long ago, I don't remember all of this exactly, but you go examine yourself. And the service, you examine yourself. She said, God miraculously has healed me of breast cancer. When we understand that we're afraid, we're blessed, and we're healed. But there's more than one reason for that. Father, I thank you for having given me the Spirit. But I'm thankful that you use that same Holy Ghost to minister to someone else. We don't talk much about ministry anymore. There was a time when the church understood the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit we dealt with. But we talked about ministry. There was a time when we as young people, when we were getting out of school, preparing our lives for what the future would be. I can remember a time when everybody wanted to be a preacher. I can remember, I'm telling you the truth, when every girl wanted to marry a preacher. There was a heart. You know where that came from? That came from this knowledge. God, the Holy Ghost, saved me, touched me, healed me, blessed me. Now I want to bless someone else. We don't see these forms anymore. We used to sing, oh, to be his hand extended, reaching out to the oppressed. Let me touch him so that I can touch others that they may be blessed. When's the last time you saw a young man walk down an aisle to an altar and tell that congregation, I want you to pray for me. I feel called to preach. Hello? I want you to pray for me to feel called to the work of the ministry. I remember when that was mine over in that old church that's now been torn down. Everybody called me to preach except me. But I can remember the service when I walked down to the platform where Brother Clinton was. I said, Brother Clinton, I want you to lay your hands on me. God has called me to preach the gospel. That's a wonderful experience. I believe people can have the call of God in their life and be so far away from the Holy Spirit that they're not even conscious of. Ministries and callings. It's not always to preach. It's not always the visible. But if God has something that he wants out of your life, if you move into that, you will move into that. The way every other one, even Jesus, has moved into it, you must do it too for the Holy Spirit. Jesus lived 35 years in this earth. 30 years he didn't preach his sermon. 30 years there was not that tight ministry in his life. You hear from Jesus when he's 12. You don't hear anything else until he's 30. 18 years. But it says in Acts 10 how that God anointed him with the Holy Ghost. From there, he went about doing good, healing the sick, casting out the devils. Man, do we ever need some devils cast out in this society? Looking at the news today, there's a story in the news that this special part executed, but he hand delivered on the back of heaven some nuclear material to the Russians. Was going to come. That's not just what I'm going to do. But Moses Kennedy gave 20% of our nuclear material to Russia. We're in trouble. This world does not know right from wrong. Every man is doing what's right in his own eyes. And if there is some kind of an advantage for the individual, we will do it. I'd rather live my life like Matthew Henry. Not Matthew Henry, but I'm not talking about the commentator. Talk to people. Give me liberty or give me death. Brother Clinton said when he went to the war, World War II. He said he could see. He wasn't even saved. But he said he could see that flag of the rising sun, that Japanese flag, flying over the courthouses in America. How many laid their lives down? That man of God almost spent the latter years of his life that he was going to die a martyr's death. The fact is, he was willing. What becomes the call of the ministry? There is a reason. We're selfish. We're planning for our lives. We're planning for our futures. There's nothing greater than for God to lay his hand on you and say, I want you to be a teacher, my woman. I want you to be a witness to me. Hello? What greater call? But it is God the Holy Ghost that begins to work these things on us. We need not just to be able to speak in tongues. We need the function of the Holy Ghost. My mind, my heart, my soul, my spirit. Everything should be the function of the Holy Ghost. As much as every mind, I have a desire, I believe this desire is above every other desire I have in this day. I do not want to fail God. I do not want to miss God. You don't know the number of times. I never will forget sitting over here in these two chairs, two of these chairs. There's Brother Clinton and Helmut Burns, who was the head of the district superintendent of those schools. I was preaching for whatever reason. I made a statement. I said, I had rather God kill me than fail God. Both of those men stood up and said, you better. We don't think about pleasing God. We don't think about failing God. We only have our plans. Sometimes God the Holy Ghost will change your plans. That preacher I told you about had a lot of money. He went to a missions convention. Got to him, said, go to that bank, draw out every penny that you have, and give it to the students. He did. Oh, Brother Cecil Fussell, he's been dead so many years now, preaching church here. But he told me one time when I was preaching for him in 1965, he told me, he said, Robert, said, God gave me a message. He said, I had a strange title. He said, the title, the man with the unbaptized man. He said, in that message, I was dealing with surrender. But he said, God told me that there's people and take their wallet out of their pocket and hold it out of the water to keep it from that place of consecration. I preached a message here so many years ago. Art Williams and his wife, from Maryland, Brother Sister Clinton's best friend. Brother Clinton got that message, I didn't know it. He sent it to Art Williams. And one day when they were down here, they were talking about it. But in that message, I said, God has got all the money he needs. The problem is, it's in the bank account of the Christian. It's in the bank account of the Christian. I want to tell you tonight that we need the operation and the function, not of my will, because God's never told me to live everything I'd like to give to other people. But if we did, I better be willing. It's by the workings and the goings of the Holy Spirit. So I can put it in this way. Where would we be when we get back to the place? Where would we as Christians be without the Holy Spirit? We don't think about this easily go to our jobs. We go through the normalcy of our lives without any thought of work and ministry of God the Holy Spirit. But where would we be without Him? Let me ask you these questions. Who is your comforter? Who is your teacher? Who is your professor? Who has ever been more convincing than Christ and God the Holy Spirit? He's everything. What will we be without Him? Well, a lot of people don't just survive without Him. That's the reason I'm preaching these messages. We must be filled with the Holy Ghost. If I can say that in all emphasis, let me say it. You must walk in the Holy Spirit. You must live in the Holy Spirit. And when you live and walk in the Holy Spirit, everything that is necessary in your life, it happens. I want to tell you, I've got great love of some of the great points out of my message this morning. I don't know, I may set myself back sometimes. I'm not just wanting to preach to you. I'm not just wanting to say words to you. What I want to do is convince you. I want to convince you. Whatever I preach, if it's the Word of God, it's not an exercise in preaching. I'm trying to convince you. I'm trying to convince our youth. I'm trying to convince our parents. I'm trying to convince our homes, husbands, wives, moms, dads, sons, daughters. I'm trying to convince us. Convince us that the person is the word of truth. Do you know in your Bible, God said, under certain circumstances, it would have been better for me had he never been born. When I preach a message like I preach this morning, I told my wife after church because we couldn't have to call us very long response. I told her something about the holy congregation in my house. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is given. I said in that message this morning, there is that incredible sin. We went through the Pharisees, the religious. Men are always to pray and not faint. There were people in this church this morning that I know by their lives, by their testimony, by their prayer request, that do not pray. But they didn't come. I said this morning, concerning the Holy Spirit, grieve not the Holy Ghost. God said, my spirit will not always pray. There is that sin of speaking against the Holy Spirit, said, shall not be forgiven in this world, nor the world to come. But that's not the only thing that could cost you your soul. Do you really believe that it's possible for man to be lost because he does not pray? If I am interpreting the word of God right, I'm going to be lost. Not because of adultery, not because of the wickedness, but for the lack of prayer. That's the reason I'm trying to be emphatic. I'm trying to be blunt, but be blunt in love. I'm trying to speak the truth in love. I'm trying to be faithful to God, to rightly divide the word of truth and preach it to you. Not only preach it to you, but live it myself. We've lost the functionality of the Holy Spirit. We're not just talking about gifts and truth. There is a God, and He's at work. I can have so many thoughts and ideas, but I'm not a part. Do you understand what I'm saying? Those sons of Judah, they said, we feel you in the name of Jesus. Who Paul preaches come out of his name. They knew the lingo. They knew the verbiage. We adjure you in the name of Jesus, you come. The man in whom the devil's oil drank on them, tore their clothes off, sent them out of them, down the street naked. And the last thing they could hear him say was, Jesus, I don't know, pour on me that healing. Why did the demon-possessed man recognize Paul? Paul said to me, Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Paul was full of Christ. Paul was full of the Holy Ghost. Just meet him on that Damascus road. God saves him. Fills him with the Spirit. The functionality of the Holy Spirit is you shall cast out devils. Right? That's the functioning. That is the operation of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you, knowing what I know, if I was devil possessed, I would have somebody cast out devils. There are tragedies in the Spirit of God and in the workings of God. There are, you live in the world, in all the ways, in the natural, I know things. I don't work on a secular channel. I don't do these things. I try to be up to date on everything that I can. But sometimes there are things that go on behind that wall. They're the spiritual things. They're not for public consumption. There are things of life that are so embarrassing and so shameful that the guilty do not want to say anything about it. Did you ever hear the boss of healing? They had the tens and 20,000 sick kids. They had the monstrosities of crowds and money. There was a man, and I was told this by Bill Mason, God love him. One day he went to Bill's church in New Orleans. Bill just struggling to start. He said, Brother Mason, I want you to pay for me. He said, all right, what are we going to do? No one did. The man told him his name. He said, Pastor, let me tell you the time in my life and my walk with God. This is both a warning and encouragement. He said, in my walk with God, he said, I had the big office, had all the employees, had the massive crowd. He said, one day, someone came in my office and I don't remember exactly what the physical need was. Seemed like maybe a retarded child or whatever it was. He said, they came out from the foyer and told me that person wanted to see me. He said, before God pressed her and told me the truth, he said, I laid my hand on that child, whatever it was, and instantly, the work was good. And he said, I grew up at Holy Spirit. If you wonder, I went to Fort Smith, Arkansas, to a big preacher's convention. There was a time when I would have been destroyed. But he said, I'm the loneliest man in that place because I'm out of the place. Bill asked him, said, sir, he said, you had a prayer request. What do we pray about? He said, I want you to pray that God will give me a place to preach. If it's under a tree. If it's a place under a tree, I just want to preach my word. I can't tell you the end of that story because I don't know. The saddest thing on this earth is for God the Holy Ghost to lift his presence. That's the reason you feel like whatever you want to feel like, but last Sunday morning was one of the great events with my life in the presence of God. Don't take your presence from me. I want to walk in the Holy Spirit. I want to walk in the Holy Ghost. I want to live in the Spirit. I want to do the will of the Spirit. Let me share two more things. He is our comforter. You have to think about that. A comforter. I know how we interpret the meaning of a comforter. But have you ever thought what it was that you have peace because the comforter assures you that what you do what more comfort could you have? Your mind may not be at peace. Your finances may be a mess. But do you know Him? Does He abide within? Are you not deceived? There's a comfort. You need the Holy Ghost to give you that comfort. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this could be said of any of the mothers of we babies here. But I want Martin, aren't you here? Martin, morning. It's in the nursery. Maybe it was this morning. But I saw Martin walk down this aisle when that person was a baby girl when I was. I guess the baby was asleep. He never saw as much pure love in my mother's heart as that mother. And it could be said again, my Lord. It's the wrong word that I tell you about. For the gentleness, the goodness, and the love, I believe it's only to say that God, the Holy Ghost, mothers us. You need that. You need that. That child needs that. I'm the child of God. I need that. I need that closeness. I need that warmth. I need that touch. But the thing said that when Mary was his child, just born was born. But he, Mary was so upset, and the thing that he tried to calm him down, he couldn't do it. So he finally took him over to his mother. She took him, and he just went and paid attention to him. He said, "That's what I'm for." She said, "I've known him now no longer than you do. I know him better than you do. I know him better than you do. I'm glad I know him, God. And if I'm wrong using the word mother, then I want God to forgive me. The Holy Spirit calls us to make right decisions. Even when we don't know the answer." He said, "When you're born before the magistrates, don't think about what you're going to say. Don't think about what you're going to say. But he said, in that hour, I will bring to you what I want you to say. Decisions." I said this morning, I used the word practical for the Holy Spirit. This was one way I mean it. Decisions. Decisions. The value of decisions. You don't know what to do in that place or what to do this is coming. If you don't know what to do, there's a way that you can pass from just being an ordinary person to being an extraordinary person. And that is to just walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Church, I've seen times in my youth when the Bible was detached, when I used the material to hold it. It was real, it was genuine. It was pure. Then I pull back a little bit when it's with an adult, which should not be. I say you and I, when there were times, was it last Sunday morning? No, the Sunday before. I stopped the service and called everybody to pray because that's where you are from. As I walk around this auditorium, I heard men and women. Young people. I heard a multitude of people praying in the Holy Spirit. I heard it. But you know what? That inward man needs to be renewed. And if they don't, that means we need to be renewed. You face some things you don't know what to do? Just get closer to God. Be filled with the Spirit. Let God have His way. I close the Lord. God, I don't believe I ever intended for us in any way to be the old man. He wants us to be like Him. And in no way is He old. This one God and this one God. Would you stand and take your hand and say, "God, I want you to fill me with the Holy Spirit.